we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, the one that is and the one that always will be and the one that's yet to come. He's blessed us to be able to see another Sabbath day, a day that he has made for us. Amen.
Amen.
A day that we ought to rejoice and be glad therein, a day that we should devote our time and our attention to reading and to meditating on God's word. And so as we fellowship together, I greet you in that spirit, the spirit of love and of hope and of happiness and peace that we only find in God's house. Amen.
Amen.
We now will begin our service. I want you to know that we don't operate in and of ourselves. We operate by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we do thank you for this another Sabbath day. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the saints that are gathered together, Lord God. We pray your mercy on those who are en route here, Lord God, or who will connect with us, Lord God, shortly. We pray your mercies upon them, that those who are on the highway, that you'll guide them here safely, Lord God. We ask that you allow us all to have the Spirit to come to seek you while you can be found, to hear you speak, Lord. We ask now that you continue to give us the strength to serve you and to praise and to honor you and no longer follow the patterns of this world. We ask your blessings on Deaconess Freeman, who's visiting with us, Lord God, that we're blessed to have had her in our presence for the last 3 days, Lord God, and after this service, we pray you bless her way back to her children in Northern Virginia, Lord God. We pray for Brother Joseph, as I pray and trust that you are now having him to head back to his family. We thank you that you watched over him and over his family in his absence, Lord God, because you're never absent. You're always present, and for that we give you praise and honor. We thank you, Lord God, for Brother George, that you allowed him to return home with his wife and his son and his daughter and the rest of his family members. We pray your mercy and grace upon him, that you strengthen him, and that you continue to give Sister Corbin the strength that she can watch over her husband and be the helpmate that you've allowed her to be all these years. We ask blessings on Brother Wayne, Lord God, that he's there taking care of his mother and father. Continue to strengthen him in your word and in your will and in your knowledge. Bless all of the members of Word of God churches on this call and all who will come as we prepare our hearts to hear from on high. So we thank you, Lord God. We give you praise and honor. I thank you for my wife, Lord God, that sits beside me, Lord God, as always. Give her the strength to continue on putting up with me for one, Lord, and to do your will. Bless this flock, guide us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God is good, is he not?
Amen.
He's always there. He's always there. Isn't that good news? No matter where we go, he's there with us. Amen.
Amen.
When we sleep, he's there. When he's not asleep, he's there. And so we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace. Someone's trying to call in on their line, but not much I can do about that. All right, if you have your Bibles, I would dare say you need to turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I'll be reading from verse 23 through 27. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 27. Amen?
Amen.
And once you've found it, and those who are making their way into the fellowship.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. This, hold on a second. I think somebody's coming in.
It should be Grandma.
Okay. Sister Corbin, are you with us? Okay. She'll be coming in a minute. Nikki's coming in.
I called her.
You called Sister Corbin?
Yeah. Wayne said hello and
then the call ended, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I just called, too. He said they overslept. They're coming in.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they had a full day yesterday. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, that's someone trying to come in through the line. For those who are who get this recording, as you well know, and if you don't, I'll tell you now that we are scattered all over the United States. In fact, we have some overseas, one who's heading back, and we're connected by bridge lines throughout the country. So all this is live, and it's unedited. And so you're going to have some things happen that you might not normally happen in a flock. And so we pray your indulgence on us. As they say, it's all good because it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Let me go ahead and read. Sister Corbin and Brother Wayne, have y'all joined us? Okay, I heard somebody come in. Is that Sister Corbin, Brother Wayne, is that y'all?
Yes, good morning.
Well, good morning. Praise the Lord. We're glad that you were able to come, and I know that Brother George is resting easy.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, well, praise the Lord. God bless y'all. We're in Hebrews chapter 10. Brother Wayne, God bless you, brother.
God bless y'all.
We're in Hebrews chapter 10, and I'll be reading from verse 23 through 27. We have more of the members coming in. I'm going to give them time to get in. Well, it looks like they're going to the repast, so we're going to come on. Let's get started. Yeah. All right, let me have everybody's undivided attention. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is... All right, time out. Time out. Everybody, everybody, do what you got to do because I'm hearing talking in the background. I'm not going to read God's word till everybody's. Amen. Y'all bear with me until everybody gets situated. You would agree there is no confusion in God's house. Amen.
Amen.
And we're not going to have any this morning. Honey. I give you some pointers. Whenever the word of God is being read, that's God speaking. And I'm sure that we don't want to have God looking over us and we're doing everything but paying attention to God. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Sometimes we forget these things, but whenever God's word is being read, we need to be reverenced toward it. I don't care what else is going on. God's word holds supreme. I've seen too many times when we start little things that we end up with big things. Respect God's word. And we will try this one more time. Hebrews chapter 10. I'll be reading verse 23 through 27. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promises is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Amen?
Amen.
And all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of the raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. May God bless his word, and may those who hear his word take heed, for God is speaking. This morning I'm going to try to cover this, as I said earlier, with the spirit of speed, because I want to get Deaconess Freeman back on the highway heading back to Northern Virginia. I don't know if you've had time to read this particular part of Hebrews 10. I know you've read the other part where it says, "Do not forsake the assembly of yourself together, as some have gotten in the habit of doing in these last and evil days." Let me tell you that God's word is never wrong. If it says that people will not assemble themselves in the last days, that's exactly what it means. And that's exactly what's happening today. For example, not all this flock is present. And those who are not, whatever reason why they're not, that's between them and the one who said, "Let us not give up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us engage one another, encourage one another, all the more as you see the day approaching." Now, from my perspective, that means that that is not something he's asking us to do. He, in fact, is warning us. He's encouraging us not to make the mistake that many are making in these last days. They're being caught up with things that are demonic. Anything that's not godly is opposite of God. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
He said, "Either you're with me or you are against me." God doesn't give you this shaded area, for which is commonly referred to as excuses. There is no excuse for believers not to be godly. Let me take you back to Romans chapter 1, where it clearly says that you cannot worship the creation over the Creator. Oh, come on, lights, help me with this.
Amen.
You see, we have to watch that we don't get in the habit of doing the things that God has told us not to do. For example, God has encouraged us, and then he has told us that we must study to find ourselves approved. That doesn't just mean on the Sabbath day or on Bible study. The word says you must meditate on it both day and night. Why? So that you'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. You will be perfect in season and out of season.
Amen.
The further you get away from God's word, the more you are not like Christ. And you become like the world. That's the mission of the devil. That's why he snares us with all kinds of things. Now, y'all, listen, I'm not here to do anything but to speak God's word. Do not, like Paul says, do not be deceived. The devil's on his case. Oh, y'all come on with me now.
Mm-hmm.
You can look around you. I was listening to scriptures last night, and I encourage you, if you have not purchased the New Testament at a minimum on CDs or cassettes, I was blessed to be given a massive set by some members of the church last year, and I am truly blessed by it. Listen to me closely. You need to read your Bible not only day but at night, day and night. You need to be in God's word. We're heading into this tsunami that I tried to alert you about over a year ago, if not mistaken, at least months ago. Yeah, and it's coming. And I didn't think it would come this quick. This quarter, you will have more foreclosures than you had the last previous quarter. This one will be a big one. And so now you're going to start seeing people who look down on others but fell into the same greed, and now they're going to pay. And then their children will pay. This is getting ready to get serious. When I came down the street the other day, gas was one price. I come back, it's $3.50. Now, I thought gas would get to $4 by the end of April. Now, I'm not sure if it won't be at $4 before the end of this month. Hopefully I'm getting your attention. I'm now seeing cars that I used to complain riding up down the street making noise and speeding, they're not there anymore. You see, you cannot mock God. God will deal with you. I don't care who you are, he will deal with you. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And if you think God ain't got his hand in this, I got news for you. God's peace rests on those who are righteous, not on the ungodly. And that includes churches, nations, households, countries. He judges us individually, and then he judges us in groups. And so sometimes it might seem, and I had a little joke the other day when Deaconess Freeman and Connie and I were out, and I saw some bunny rabbits and stuff, and they picked up on it and said, "Don't talk about no Easter bunny around Bishop Cuff." And that's a good thing, because that's not sanctioned in the Word. You see, we done got so complacent that the world can put things in front of us and we accept them. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
If it's not in God's Word, it's your job and my job to stand against it. And that's what Jesus talks about when he says that you will be attacked like I was attacked. You see, when you go along with everything to get along, you're not going to be attacked. You're welcome. But you mock God when he's told us that these are the things that we should not do and the things that we should do.
Amen.
So I stopped by to tell you that this is a serious matter. And this morning, we're getting a ominous, O-M-I-N-O-U-S, warning. We're being warned in this text this morning about something that I, for one, would prefer not to know that it's there. But see, I didn't write this gospel. Amen?
Amen.
My charge is to proclaim it. And you know, sometimes I'm going to be honest with you. I try to find things that are palatable to you and fit your itching ears. And I'm having trouble with it, because everywhere I see in this New Testament, he's talking about a application. There's something that you've got to do. Now, y'all come on with me. Those therefores are all throughout this New Testament. And so I'm trying sometimes, and I follow the what the Spirit tells me, to find something that will be palatable, or that will make it easy on you. And I ask God to forgive me for that, because I'm worried about what man think about me than what God thinks about me. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
I'm not called to feed your itching ears, because one day I'm going to leave this plane of existence. And when I leave, none of y'all go be with me. Amen, lights.
Amen.
Listen to how it works. You will stand before him by yourself, naked. You will have no furniture, no clothes, no intellect. You will have nothing but the judgment of a righteous and holy God. And he will judge you on what you did in this body after you came to know him and before. Oh, come on with me.
Amen.
If you are born again, you will only be held accountable in that Obama seat, the seat of what you've done after you became saved. This morning, I want to talk to you briefly about that matter of, are we truly saved when we think we're saved? And about this ominous warning that we find here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26 and 27. Let me read it to you again. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sin is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment, of the raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Listen closely. When you sin, you are the enemy of God.
Amen.
If God, for example, I'm going to tell you how plain this is. If God tells you to assemble yourselves together and you don't, you're sinning. You're at the mercy of God when you decide you go do what you want to do. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
You see, we don't live for ourselves, we live for Christ. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Self is what takes us down. Self, which is what allows us to disrespect and dishonor God. It is self that man has to conquer.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, we all were born in sin. It's our natural nature that wars against God. It ain't your the person across the street, around the corner. It's me and it's you. We war in our minds against the truth. Come on with me. We're determined that we're going to do it our way. You're not going to do it your way, nor am I, for God is an awesome God. He's a loving God, but he's also a vengeful God. Amen, lights.
Amen.
I didn't come by to give you one God. I'm giving you the God. And what he says is that you and I must not willfully sin. So I want to talk to you about this willful sinning. This state that we can be in. The more I studied this, the more it became extremely troublesome to me that a person could willfully, that's W-I-L-L-F-U-L, sin. That one would have to be in a state to willfully go against what God has laid out. So right off the bat, you should have some sense that if you willfully sinning, we're talking about Christians. You're talking about apostasy. You knew something. Back to Hebrews 10:25. Let us not forget give up the meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. When you don't do that, you are willfully disobeying God. And willfully means that you don't do it once, you continue to do it. Oh, y'all come on with me.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, it starts with you, with what? The toe. You put one toe into it, and then you put the other toes in. And before you know it, you got your foot in it. And then before you know it, you got both foots in it. Next thing you know, you're pilly-palling away from God.
Amen.
Y'all, you know what? Y'all really don't. If you believe this, say amen. If you don't, you don't say anything. I encourage you to believe it and say amen because God is watching all of us.
Amen.
This isn't something I'm preaching to you that doesn't apply to me. It applies to me just as much as it applies to you. And in fact, I got the monkey on my back that if I don't proclaim it, then I will have heaps of coal on my head. So, you know, I really don't care if you amen it or not. The truth is still the truth.
Amen.
Amen.
Scripture tells us that there's no longer a sacrifice for sin. Listen, if you continue, you perpetually, willfully sin against God, you no longer have the protection of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Y'all getting that?
Amen.
Amen.
And so then you stand the wrath of God coming on you. You see, we all are saved by grace. But once you're saved and you decide that you're going to go back and do what you did before or even start new willful things, you have no turning point. You have no hope. But the rage and the judgment and the fiery indignation of God. Listen to me. I don't want anyone to fall under the wrath of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Let me tell you what I believe. Based upon my understanding of Scripture, there is nothing that happens in this world that God does not have a hand in.
Amen.
He either directs it or he allows it.
Amen.
We're not sitting up here watching things tumble down in this country. It is being either directed or allowed. And what God directs or allows, no man can stop.
Amen.
And so I come by this morning to tell you that listen closely at God's word. Don't willfully continue to live in sin after you've learned the knowledge of the truth. You see, some people believe that there's a doctrine of once saved, always saved. And I might add to you that I believed it until I studied it.
Amen.
I thought that once you're saved, you're always saved. I remember reading 1 Corinthians where the women said, well, we could go out and do what we want to do because we saved. Go back and check that out. And so they started doing all kind of foolishness because their feeling was that no matter what I do, I mean, if I sin more, I'm saved more.
Amen.
I stopped by to tell you that is not true. You see, listen, if this point of sin was eternal, it would be okay, but you cannot be in the eternal presence of God and be in sin because God does not rest where sin abounds.
Amen.
You see, we're all protected because of the blood of Jesus. It's not nothing we've done. We all know that we are the elect of God. It's by God's mercy and grace that he called us from darkness to his marvelous light.
Amen.
And when he called us, church, we have an obligation to him. Come on with me. We have an obligation to have the knowledge of who he is. And with that knowledge, to give him all respect and honor. Because the knowledge enlightens us. That we are no longer in darkness, but that we live by his mercy and grace.
Amen.
You see, when you get up in the morning, if you don't give him homage, you are really a sad soul.
Amen.
Because none of us can move without his approval.
Amen.
Now, one foreclosure in the next 90 days can have any effect if God doesn't allow it. I found interesting the other day, this country put up $200 billion to stir to try to shore up one of our biggest financial institutions, Burns and Stearns or whatever it is. It didn't work. Keep bringing out your money and not your Bible. Keep trying to work 2, 3, 4 jobs instead of getting on your knees and asking God for help.
Amen.
Keep figuring a way to get $4 a gallon gas instead of asking God to guide and direct your path and to take sin from our hearts.
Amen.
Just keep on willfully trying to do things on your own and giving excuses why you can't turn to God for his mercy and grace. Just keep on. And I come by to tell you that God will not hear you. He says he hears the prayers of the righteous. Oh, come on, somebody.
Amen.
Some people believe that the prayers of the unrighteous are heard by him. I stop by to tell you that only the prayers of the righteous are heard by God. If you want to be righteous, you know you have the blessings of God on your life.
Amen.
And on your offspring. And on their offspring.
Amen.
You know, I want to make sure you got this straight. You know, we were talking yesterday, Priscilla and Connie and I, about how things that people do in their youth that come back to haunt them when they get old.
Amen.
You see, that's all scriptural. The Bible said you reap what you sow. You might not see it in your generation, but your next generation might have it. Or that generation. What you do in this flesh can affect your offspring's 5 or 6 generations down.
Amen.
If I'm not mistaken, 7 down. You cannot live ungodly and not cause a consequence on your offsprings.
Amen.
And a lot of folks don't seem to care about their offsprings. No, they're living for self. It's all about me. That's a curse there on your offspring.
Amen.
Oh, y'all, might help me, lights.
Amen.
See, people do things to their children and then wonder why when their children get older, they have problems.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, y'all, come on with me. You see, I had the problem. I had a mother that gave me up, and then I had foster parents who tried to raise me, but they had problems of their own to face.
Amen.
You don't beat a child till they're unconscious and consider that the way to raise up a child. You don't cuss your children out, and you don't call them anything but what they are, a child of God. Amen. And expect to get away with it. You will not be blessed in God's kingdom. God does not go that way.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's why we got to stay on our knees and ask him to forgive us of our sins. We have to ask him for mercy and grace. And all of us fit that case. We all need mercy.
Amen.
None of us is above seeking mercy.
Amen.
And if you can't open your mouth and say it, I pray mercy on you. We need mercy.
Amen.
Amen.
Let me explain something to you about this matter of apostasy that's being brought out in this text. You see, it's taught in the Bible, especially in this epistle to the Hebrews. We have already seen several warnings implied in this text. And if you haven't read Hebrews, I encourage you to read it. Listen at this. Number one, a warning against drifting in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. You see, church, you can't drift to and fro in God's kingdom.
Amen.
You can't drift over into the word and then drift over into this profound and profane world.
Amen.
You can't work both sides of this fence.
Amen.
It doesn't work. Listening with great interest and Jeremiah Wright, and I have some of his books in this house. Now, you done sit up under the man for 20 years. You see, listen at me. If you sit up under me and I'm not preaching God's word, that's your fault. That is on you. The Bible says you test the preacher to see if he is preaching God's word. And that's why you should, if you hear God's word, say what?
Amen.
Amen.
And if you don't hear it, then you need to check yourself. Oh, anytime, Lance, did you come in here and I'm not preaching God's word, you get up and leave. Your soul depends on this. You sit up there and somebody having fiery rhetoric, which obviously, like the lady said this morning, that's what we're accustomed to. Do something to get me up on my feet. I'll get you up on your feet. God does not tolerate sin. And when you willfully sin after he's told you about the light and the truth, you come under his rage.
Amen.
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 through 14, a warning against departing. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, a warning against disobedience. Listen at me. You cannot disobey God and get away with it.
Amen.
Nor can I. Some of us think in these last and evil days that you can get away from an all-seeing, all-knowing God. Go back in our history of mankind and we found that Adam and Eve thought that they could do what they did and God wouldn't see it. And we done gone from that day to this and man still thinks that he can get away with it. We have excuses, as Romans 1 says. Man is without excuse, the Bible says.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, 6 to 6 is a warning against dullness and leading to apostasy. Listen at me. You can become dull in the ways of God. It just doesn't excite you. You just don't want, I got to put up with Bishop Cuff running his mouth. Listen at me closely. You can take that route, but that route will lead you further down a slippery slope that you won't be able to climb up unless God is merciful unto you. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You see, this warning against willful sin is something that all of us this morning must take into account. What it means to willfully sin so that we have no mistake about it. Let me give you a translation comparison. In the NIV, it says, we deliberately keep on sinning. And the NRSV says, for we willfully persist in sin. And the NASB says, for we go on sinning willfully. Church, this word sin, as you know, all words in the Bible have a Greek or Hebrew meaning. But in the Greek, it simply means that we repeat this. Let me give you an example. I had the occasion, I know I mentioned this to you a couple of years ago. I was over at the Patient First and saw a fellow employee that used to work at Bank of America with me. And he come out in the lobby and he's cussing and carrying on. Next thing I know, I'm cussing and carrying on. Amen, lights.
Amen.
You know, D kind of really brought that home to me the other night during Bible study. You see, when you are around ungodly people and they start their little chant of whatever, it's easy to fall into that.
Amen.
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 It's easy to go back to that natural nature that's in us. That's why the Bible warns us to come out from among them who are not like-minded. It is real easy to slip back where you have no business going. And once you get there, it becomes a willful, a continuation of it. Let me give you another clear example. Governor Spitzer of New York willfully kept on sinning, figuring that he was the governor and he could get away with it. He had the money. He had the power. And so for apparently 10 years, when he locking people up, holding people up to a standard that he himself would not hold up to, and he willfully thought he could continue to do that. And I don't know who set him up, but I would like to believe that God was in the midst of that.
Amen.
You can't mock God and get away with it. And so now look what's happened. And this is a good example for you how the devil works. 1 minute you're high. What does the Bible say about a high-minded, proudful individual? They're setting themselves up for a fall.
Amen.
Amen.
And
Amen.
He fell. And his family fell. His wife looked like she aged in those 2 or 3 days that she was on television. Can you see how ungodly activity causes disruption in your whole household? Look at this woman who now has to duck her head down and hadn't done nothing because of what her husband did, and his daughters will be ridiculed because we live in a dark world. And those who thought they were more than they were will now bring it out at every corner, at every turn. And I found with great interest, if you ever want to know how dark this world is, the 22-year-old prostitute is now a celebrity. Well, y'all might as well say amen.
Amen.
She had 6 million hits on her website. 6 million sick people wanted to see what she looked like. So many so that they had to take the site down. It was crashing YouTube. If you want to know what kind of world we're in, you don't have to look on no TV or YouTube or nowhere. The Bible tells us. But it always helps when you can see it unfold in your presence. $4,000 and they done gone offshore. He's transferring money back and she meeting him in D.C. And then they got every... You see, they didn't... The devil didn't let it all just flow. It's all out there now.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all might as well say amen. It's all out there. That comes from willfully disobeying God. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
You see, a act of sin can turn into a state of sin. And that's what we're talking about this morning. When you come into the habit of doing it. Let's take something as simply as profanity. You see, if you get out and cuss in front of people and you just cussing to be cussing, you're willfully disobeying God.
Amen.
So you make no mistake about it. Now, if you get into a rage, and sometimes we all do, although we are trained that we're not to have rage. When you feel it rearing its ugly head up, you to do what? Pray and ask God for his peace and his
Amen.
Mercy.
Amen.
That's easier said than done. But I stop by to tell you that the Bible said there is no temptation is common to man that you and I cannot overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
So as we progress further into this, again, I want to make sure you understand that we're not talking about the one fall here and there. We're talking about people who persistently, continuously, willfully sin. You know, I got to think about that and say, well, how wide is this? This is broad. You can willfully steal from your employee, like this fellow did from the Republican National Convention, which I thought was very interesting. This guy had been stealing money a little bit at a time, and now it's big money.
Amen.
And they will cover it up, try to cover, but he still stole it and is gone.
Amen.
Listen to me. It starts with little things. You know, I go back when I worked at the bank, they used to leave the cabinet where our office supplies unlocked. Oh, yeah, yeah, we should be able to finish that. And I willfully went in and took whatever I wanted.
Amen.
And lights.
Amen.
And I know people who willfully take company credit cards and do what they want. And we had a senior vice president. Unfortunately, he happened to be a brother. Very intelligent young man, articulated himself well, dressed well. You know, a nice-looking guy. And one day I'm sitting down eating my lunch, and I see these bank security guys with him. And I'm saying, what in the world has he done? He done did the proverbial willful sin. He done used Bank of America's credit card to do his own thing with it. Not knowing that a red flag goes up on that computer. It knows what you're doing. It's like sitting there sending emails out all day. You know, my team's job was to sit there and catch you doing that. And yet people willfully still do it. And they willfully walk them to the door with their little box when they done fired them.
Amen.
Are you getting the drift of this willfulness? But now take it a higher level. That when you willfully do what God has told you not to do, it ain't no little box going to the door. It's called a fire in the pits of hell that we're up against. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And there is the danger that you and I must face. You see, the word says there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin. That simply means that you don't have the blood of Jesus on your church. And that certain fearful expectation of judgment, Hebrews 10:27a tells us, one can expect judgment that is certain. And that's what gets me. There's no way you go wiggle your way out of it. It's certain. Because God cannot lie. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
What he says is what he'll do.
Amen.
So you and I must always be testing ourselves to ensure that we don't come under this wrath of God. And I know we don't like to hear about the wrath of God. You know, we've been so itching ears fed that we want to hear just the good things. I wish it was that easy, church. But we come under the wrath of God. Amen?
Amen.
And the requirement of the Old Testament really had it down different than the New. You see, in the Old Testament, Hebrews 10:28 says, there was death without mercy. Because they're stoning you to death.
Amen.
You know, we still have countries in the Muslim countries that will cut your hands off for stealing. Did y'all know that? Turkey will cut your hands off for stealing. And that way they know you ain't going to steal nothing else. Not with them hands anyway.
Amen.
When I was in a military station in Germany, the Turks were the only people that I was really afraid of.
Amen.
Because you go on a, no GIs went in a Turkish club.
Amen.
They go in a German club and raise all kind of cane, but they would not go up in them Turkish clubs.
Amen.
Vietnam, same way. The Turks never put any gates around their compounds. What they'll do is get a Viet Cong, take a rod that you clean your weapon with, drive it through his ears and hang him up. And the rest of them know that we don't want to go that way. Saddam Hussein had that same presence and kept everybody at peace.
Amen.
Yeah, I ain't going no further with that.
No.
Now, what is required of us in the new covenant? Listen at me. Hebrews 10:29 said is telling us that one is worthy of much worse punishment. What could be worse than a physical death? Only fiery indignation. In other words, church, make a note, that fiery indignation is simply H-E-L-L. And to tramp the Son of God under your feet, the word trample comes from the Greek word K-O-I-E-O, spelled K-A-T-A-P-A-T-E-O. It denotes competence, a terrible disdain. Such a person treats Jesus who died for them like dirt. That's deep and that's rough. So when you perpetually sin willfully, you are treating Christ as if he was dirt. Such a person considers it a insult also to the Holy Spirit. For it's the Spirit that guides us to all truths. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen.
And so I encourage you this morning, I implore you in the name of Jesus, that you and I must take into account any willful sins that we have. You see, that includes me. I have to examine myself to make sure of what I am doing, that I'm not willfully sinning. And you know, church, I don't know about you, but it's a job just keeping myself straight.
Amen.
I mean, I don't really have much time to be judging people. You know, I'm really getting to the point where I can understand when the Bible says, judge not to be judged, for in the same way that you judge others, it will come back on you. It's a hard job to keep me straight. And if you don't believe so, ask my wife. But see, the reality is I have to keep me straight and she got to keep her straight.
Amen.
And the less time you spend on keeping me straight, the more time you keep on keeping yourself straight. And I mean that in general.
Amen.
You see, that's what we better be doing. We better be making sure that we have gotten rid of willful sin.
Amen.
Amen.
Because none of us, and I pray none of us, will come under the raft of a God that will avenge those who willfully keep sinning after they've learned. In other words, we become apostates. You see, apostasy starts in the mind of an individual, and then it spreads in the mind of other individuals. You know, you got churches that got 40,000 people in them, and everybody in there is apostate. From the pulpit on down. Amen, lights.
Amen.
Because they've taken the Bible and turned it all upside down and made it this nice little, everybody name and claim what you want. You know, I really wish it was that easy. I'd be really sitting nice, Priscilla.
Amen.
I just walk around and tell y'all, just think positive. Mm-hmm. Put your money in and play and buy my books. But that's not going to help me on Judgment Day, is it?
Amen.
The Bible says, do not cause your brother to stumble. And that's what they're doing. That's what the Bible talks about all the way through this New Testament, false prophets. And you and I have the ability to be able to discern them, do we not? So as I bring this down to a close, because I don't want to labor on this too long, I want to make sure that you know that this is a formidable situation that I pray that none of us in Word of God Church finds ourselves in, that we willfully sin, that we just dismiss what God has said. And so I want to make sure that I leave you with this point. If you're not on Bible study every week, and I'm not... You know, you got to stop thinking, I'm not beating you over the head for money. You know, most preachers preach the way they go beat you up with money. I'm going to beat you up with what I think will help save your soul, if you want to call it beating you up. You know, if you can't find a way to make it a Bible study willfully, I'm not talking about when you got like the move or something comes up or your phone ain't working on. I'm talking about where you just flat don't come to Bible study. You're willfully putting yourself in harm's way.
Amen.
I was expecting all those who go to Bible study can say amen.
Amen.
Listen to me. Don't let the devil deceive you with his little trickeries. Now, we who believe must endure to the end. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
For Hebrews 10:37 says the Lord is coming. And the just live by faith, Hebrews 10:38 tells us. If we draw back, in other words, become unfaithful, the Lord will not be pleased. We who are God's people must hold firm to the faith that we first received and be just as zealous about it as we were then, now. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Don't take it lightly. Discipline yourselves. I'm sure that Deaconess Freeman can attest that at a certain point in the evening, I just disappear. And I don't mean no, I don't mean no disrespect. But see, I know that if I don't stop myself in this world and go into my world, which is my word, but I'm going to have problems.
Amen.
Amen.
And so I just go in my room and I don't have no TV or nothing but the word. And I might have mentioned it earlier. If I had not, I mentioned to you again. If you have trouble reading and falling asleep, which is a trick of the devil, get the CDs. Oh, yeah, devil is a trick you up. I should get on my knees and be praying and fall asleep right while I'm praying.
Amen.
Amen.
I guess I'm the only one besides that one amen that fell asleep on my knees praying.
Amen.
See, listen to me. Don't let the devil fool you. If you don't read your Bible, I encourage you to get the tapes and turn off hip-hop in your car and put the CD in and listen at the word.
Amen.
I guarantee you, you'll be blessed.
Amen.
And not only that, you'll have peace. You see, you can't fight this world. You can try. You know. I'm really, you know, my heart goes out to people now because they got a real problem. Things are changing.
Mm-hmm.
I suspect that if this all pans out, we won't have a middle class. It'll be the rich and the poor.
Amen.
And the godly.
Amen.
Listen to me. If we get poorer than we are, but stronger in the Lord, we still win.
Amen. Amen.
But if we still out here playing the game, you know, those simple things like running to the store every 5 minutes with $4 a gallon gas.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, we had learned to do with less. And you will learn to do with less. I
Amen.
Expect one Sunday won't be no rolls or cookies or donuts coming up in here.
Cut it off.
And that's a good thing. Listen to me. This is serious business. One thing, and I say this with all due honor and respect and admiration, I don't believe we have willful sinners in this church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, lights.
Amen.
Now,
amen.
If you know you're a willful sinner, don't say amen. Just ask for mercy and grace. But I believe that God has touched all of our hearts. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Not all of us on the same level, but God has, in fact, touched our hearts. And so we have the charge to go and help those who we know who are willfully sinning. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
That's what I want to leave you with, is that there's some even in our flock who seems to have drifted away.
Amen.
And you and I have to show our love for them and encourage them to come back. I sent out a notification about the devotionals that I send out on during the week. And it really got to me when I sent out over 100 and some, and only one person sent back. What I sent out was that something to the effect that due to the spam, and I had actually gotten a comment. In fact, this case was by one of my own family members, that his boss was sitting in the office, and we were going back, amen, and back and forth, and he keeps seeing these emails, and he thought that was uncomfortable to him, and I agree with that. And then it dawned on me that I have been sending out emails to people that I didn't get their permission to send it. You see, I believe you send me an email, I'm sending you, I'm putting you on my list.
Amen.
Yeah. And then I realized that's a good way to get a $5,000 fine on Word of God Church. Because that is spamming, and that's illegal. And so I sent close to 200 people telling them that, you know, you'll have to send me an email back if you want to continue to get those devotionals. I got one back out of close to 200. And that was my old boss. She sent it back right haste saying, please keep me on the list. Name is Christine Pemberton. But what troubled me was, what would happen if I took off half a Word of God's church members off the list? I really thought about doing that. Just take off five names and see if they respond back and said that I'm not getting any email. I know Sister Corbin will. I'll hear from her, and I'll hear from Mimi. You see, the reality is God knows who looks at each one of those each day, or those who willfully just don't open them. All right, I'm going to leave that alone. Do you understand what I'm saying? As
Amen.
Hard as we work, this is still a dark world.
Amen.
And you have to fight the good fight of faith. I have a neighbor right across the street that she didn't respond back. And when she comes out and talks to you for 5 minutes, and I know she'll probably hear this tape, but God bless you. You see, I go by your fruits. Because the word says we live by our fruits.
Amen.
Amen.
So willfulness is what this matter is. And I ask you and I pray and I encourage you to, one, search your own heart like I have to do. And make sure that we're not willfully sinning. And sin is a broad word. It's not a now, it's real broad. And so we have to narrow it down. Are we reading our Bibles every day? If you're not, you're sinning. And if you don't read it every day, you're willfully sinning.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
And if you don't pray every day for the rest of this flock, you're willfully sinning.
Amen.
Let me put this point here, and I'm finished. I had the blessed occasion to hear from a loved one that I had stopped praying for. Didn't mean to stop praying for, but she was not on my prayer list because she wasn't in my presence. You see how that goes? You know, I encourage you to write the list of names down.
Amen.
Like I have a sister that her health is failing. And I'm conscious of it now, but will I be conscious of it 2 weeks from now? And our prayers should always include the praying for others. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
and always pray for each member in this flock.
Amen.
So as I bring this to a close, I implore you, I beg of you, that if you know anyone who willfully sins around you, you ask God to give you the encouragement and the power to help them.
Amen.
Amen.
Deacon Edison, if you lead us in prayer. Willful sinning is the issue.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to take you back to a couple of scriptures. And I like reading from the Living Bible, which I'll be reading from this morning.
Amen.
This will be out of Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 5. Verse 5 through verse 9. Then I'll jump from that to verse 11. Church had to say amen.
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 And the Spirit led me to this, because not only was it in the book, but in the notes when I was a young man. Sometimes when I felt as if I had all the answers, or I felt that God wasn't on my side,
well,
I felt as if I knew it all, he spanked and he said in these words, "And you quite forgot the encouraging words God spoke to you, his child. He said, my son, don't be angry when the Lord punishes you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be discouraged when he says to show you where you are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
For then he punishes you. It proves that he loves you. When he whips you, it proves you are really his child.
Well,
let God train you, for he is doing what any loving father does for his children.
Amen.
Whosoever heard the son who was never corrected. If God doesn't punish you when you need it, as other fathers punish their son, then it means that you aren't really God's son at all.
Amen.
That you really don't belong to his family.
Mm-hmm.
Since we respect our fathers here on earth,
well,
though they punish us, should we not all more cheerfully submit to God's training so that we can really begin to love it, to live? Verse 11. Being punished isn't enjoyable while it is happening. It hurts.
Amen.
But afterwards, we can see the result, a quiet growth in grace and character.
Amen.
May God have a blessing.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. And amen.
Timely word.
Amen.
Quiet our hearts for communion. While we're waiting for the communion to be served, we do have the new CDs in. And if anybody needs a replacement tape, okay, you would let me know either today or email and which one it is. I'll get them out to you. We don't have to pay for these CDs, which I thought was a good thing. I just have to mail the other ones back, which I'll do Monday. Also, on our church website, keep in mind that you can email right off that website a sermon to someone.
Amen.
Or you can download it to an MP3 player right off the church website. I need your sister Mimi to give me those numbers again for the church website, the account number, because we can also put on the website, if anybody
who goes, he wants to give a donation, but you have to have the account number and all that in PayPal.
Oh, okay.
And that's another way, in case somebody wants to send their offering in, they'll be able to do it right through the church website.
Very good.
Hope we don't get too sophisticated with all this, but, you know, if it's there, we can sure use it. Has everybody been served? I take it that everyone at home who's taking communion is preparing.
Amen.
Amen. You have your Bibles again. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Be reading from verse 25. Thank you, Deacon Edison. Edison just did something that I'm real thankful for, and that was he went and got the young children who had wandered off playing, which is okay because I know when they're playing, they still hear me. Amen?
Amen.
But he brought them in to take communion. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, we have to watch our children. You know, sometimes we take them for granted or we just, you know, put them in, thank God they're not in front of a TV. But Jesus made reference to the little ones. I mean, he talked about that, you know, said that the little child asked something, and then his disciples couldn't help him. He said, bring the child to me.
Amen.
So how long do I have to be with you? You don't even know how to deal with the little ones.
Amen.
I'm close to that. So, you see, we have to make sure that we always are within bounds of God's will. And you got to be on guard all the time because the devil's mission is to change us.
Amen.
Amen.
And see, if we allow him to creep in here and we start doing things that we ain't supposed to be doing, for example, moving when God's word's being read, you see, that's how it happens. Little subtle things. When God's word's being read, everyone stops. Why? That's out of respect for God. Amen.
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 Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he return. Let us commune on the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Father, we do ask for your mercy. We ask for your grace. We pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And after the supper, he took the cup, which symbolized his blood that was shed on Calvary's cross for our sins and the sins of the world. Let us commune together on the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Father, we love you. We praise your holy and righteous name. We ask for forgiveness of our willful sins and all other sins. We pray your peace be upon us, your mercy and your grace. I pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go in peace, for God walks with you. He reigns with you. He is your all. Amen.
Amen.
Trustee Reeves, if you would give our offering, we'll...
We collected $36 last Sunday, so our total for March is $169.85.
Church, say amen.
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 Amen. Let's pray over our offertory. Father God, we ask that those who gave, that you bless them. Those who did not give or were unable to give, that you bless them as well, Lord God, and that we use this money for the uplifting of your kingdom.
We thank you, Lord God. We praise your holy name. We pray in the name of our Father and of our Son and of our Holy Spirit, all being equal in your sight. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all. All minds clear. I ask that you keep George in your prayers, and Brother Joseph in your prayers as he returns home, and as Brother George recovers. I also be with your prayers with Sister Freeman as she goes back to Northern Virginia and then from there goes to North Carolina. We ask that you bless them as well.
Amen.
Okay, we have a request for prayer. What's in the list?
I don't know the girl's name.
Okay.
A good friend of
mine. All right. Aunt T's.
T.
T, okay. Let us pray. Father God, we have a request for prayer for someone who's in ICU. Lord God, you know who this person is and what they stand in need of. We pray your mercy and your grace. We pray your peace be upon them. We ask for your healing in this case. We pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Bless this family. Comfort them. I pray in Jesus' name. Church, say in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. All of us need prayer at times. Amen.
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 Go in peace, for God walks with you. You are dismissed. God bless y'all.
God bless everybody.
Thank
Sister
you.
Corbin
Thank
and
you.
Brother Wayne, y'all have a blessed day and kiss Brother George for us.
Thank you. We're sorry that we overslept, but.
You authorized overslept, Sister Corbin.
We will.
Yeah, in fact, I go back to sleep now.
Okay. Love you all and thank you. God bless you.
All right. Bye-bye.